they make a living without any fuss. Water, sun, and air,
and
all they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls. They feed on.
It's hour number two of Garden Talk live at KSRO in Santa Rosa, California.
Ready.
Are you ready, Gwen?
I'm ready.
Gwen Kilcher, Steve Garner, and Pine Bark, our producer, taking your calls at 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO.com if you're more comfortable communicating via email, Steve at KSRO.
Or photos are great.
Yes, and of course, you can always send us a photo of a plant in distress or a plant that you can't identify, and we will do our dangdest to get the correct information to you.
But listen in, too, because if I say, oh, I need to talk to you, then you could dial 636-1350 real quick, and we'll get you on and proceed.
Of course, we go right to the calls, as we're going to demonstrate right now. And we will also take a rose pruning question in a minute or two, because you wanted to talk about rose pruning too.
Oh yeah,
man, you've got your whole lifetime you've been pruning roses, haven't you? Pretty much for 25 years.
Yes.
Yeah. So you know a thing or two about that. Scott has a question about lettuce. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi, Scott.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
You're doing beautifully. Good. Thanks.
A belated Happy New Year to you guys.
You too.
Been able to listen, yeah. So, now dry one for a little bit, which is good.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. We were up at my sister-in-law's ranch in Wairika last week, and it was minus 14 in our ranch, and I was like...
Minus?
Yeah, swear. There's snow everywhere. Gee, hardly ever gets snow.
Wow.
So we headed south quickly.
Well, I was in Wairika once in 1973 because I dated a girl who was from Wairika, and so we went up there, and there's nothing up there.
That was then, but now it's changed.
Well, that was 1973.
Yeah.
Well, you can go especially west. We have a cabin up in the mountains west of there, and once you get in the trees in the mountains, it's pretty. But
yeah.
Beautiful.
Anyway, my question was, I tried to plant. I had good luck with lettuce in barrels, containers last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I planted some about a month ago, and with the frost and the real dampness, it just kind of ate it up. They just kind of melted. Never got it going, so to speak. Should I hold off a little bit before I try to replant?
If you could plant them in like a little mini greenhouse, and keep them warm in there, then they'll do fine. But if not, then just wait until spring, March or something. Keep an eye on the weather. And if you have to throw some frost cloth over them, whatever, at that time, it's not as bad as now. So
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking. Because they kind of got to get established, and then they can kind of withstand a little bit, But all right, I will hold off on that, and then I appreciate your help, like always.
Yeah, and, there are varieties out there that are pretty cold tolerant, but like you said, they need to get acclimated and established first.
Right.
And these young little plants, when you pull them out of the little six-pack, and you disturb that root system, that has to get going before the plant can even think about growing. But then when it's too cold.
Oh, go ahead. I got a bunch of grape stakes and stuff, metal ones. If I was to, make a tent around the barrel and just kept, like a frost cloth tent, do you think that might get them through the bad spots?
Not if you use frost cloth, no, because that keeps that inside area a little bit warmer, maybe 4 to 6 degrees warmer than the outside temperature. But that UV greenhouse plastic, when you enclose the whole thing in there and you make this little mini greenhouse, the sun that comes through there, that plastic retains the heat in there. And that's why you see all these farmers with these hoop tunnels and, high tunnels where they're tall enough that you can walk through. The temperature in there is a lot warmer than the outside temperature. So that's
why. So you
use
clear, thick plastic or clear plastic?
No, it has to be that greenhouse plastic.
A lot of the other. Where did you get that?
Your green landscape supply places, the bigger nurseries that carry, weed cloth and frost cloth and irrigation supplies and all those items. It is on the expensive side, and it usually lasts for like 4 to 6 years.
That's worth it.
Like the Visqueen plastic kind of stuff that you find, I don't know what's not in there compared to the greenhouse plastic, but that really doesn't work because it doesn't hold in heat or something. Believe me, I've tried it. And then, and then I've made a greenhouse out of it, and then the sun over time makes that plastic brittle. And then I went to lift the lid up of my greenhouse, the whole thing kind of like shattered in pieces.
Yeah, the UV rays get to it after a while.
And it only took a few months before it fell apart. So the greenhouse plastic works really well.
All right. Well, thank you a bunch, you guys.
Okay.
Always
you're
great
welcome.
To hear from you, Scott, and have a wonderful, bountiful new year. And call us back about the lettuces and what has proved successful for you, what you ended up choosing. A rose question from Ronard Park, California. Marola, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Marola.
I would like to know a selection of a couple of roses that I could plant, that I could have a cut rose once in a while in the house, a bud, probably a red one and perhaps a yellow one.
Red and yellow. And hopefully they don't have to be fragrant for you, do they?
No.
Okay, good. Because those hybrid tea roses with fragrance are the most disease susceptible out there. So, one of my favorite red roses is Olympiad.
Olympiad.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't really get any of those rose diseases that they get, like the black spot and the rust and this and that. So that's a nice one. There was another red one that I can't think of, but a yellow rose. I remember Julia Child. But that needs some really good draining soil, full sun all day long, and it will do really well. What's another yellow good cut rose? I'm drawing a blank. There were some varieties where you cut the rose, but then the petals fall off fairly quickly. And I can't remember who they were, but if you give me a minute, keep listening to the show. I'm going to keep thinking what I have out in my garden. And I know the red rose Olympiad. There was another one too. I think it's a lady's name. It's not, I don't think it's Ingrid Bergman. Darn. But keep listening.
Grace
keep
Kelly?
Listening. No.
No? Okay.
No. I have it. It's on the corner of my property and it's a tree rose and it's amazing. And it's one of these actresses' names, I believe.
Katherine Hepburn?
No. Red.
But we could spend all day.
Rola, keep listening to the show, and I'll come up with a couple more varieties for you.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. And you can be buying them. You'll check your favorite nursery and see what they have out there and see if they sell them. And, if not, the employees there will probably have a few of their favorites that they could suggest to you. And there you go. So,
I had about 30 roses across the back fence, and my husband passed away, and it was just so much care for him that my gardener and I decided to take them out, and I've missed them, and I thought I'd like to have two or three that I could have a nice cut rose in the house now and then.
Okay. If you like a soft, whitish, pinkish color, my ultimate favorite, and it's because of my newspaper writer friend Dana Lozano, it's also her rose, she told me, is called First Kiss. It has a slight fragrance to it. It's a blushy color. The bud is outstanding. As it's growing, it's beautiful, and it opens up like the most elegant looking rose you have ever seen. First Kiss.
Okay. That's a white yellow?
It's pale, blushy, pinky. Very, very subtle pink, but it's gorgeous, and I have three of those. thanks to Dana. So
you're thinking, you're trying to think of a yellow rose, Gwen, that you like, that's an actress's name, is that correct?
No, the red one. The red rose.
I thought you said yellow.
Oh, red.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think of some yellow, nice cut yellow roses.
Are you sure it's not Ingrid Bergman?
Ingrid Bergman. Is it Ingrid Bergman?
Okay, we're going to take a break and have Gwen furrow her brow and scratch her head and try to come up with it.
Yes. Well, I'll keep listening.
But my number one rose would be First Kiss.
First Kiss is still your number
first
one.
First Kiss.
Even though you wanted yellow or red, this is that blushy. Do you have access to a computer that you can, you know, Google the name and see what that looks like? And then you'll say, oh, yes, I agree.
Okay, thank you for your help.
Okay,
our pleasure.
Keep listening. I'll have more names.
We'll talk to Nita in just a moment. That leaves three open lines, 636-1350. Of course, you can always reach us via email, steve@ksro.com, for this beautiful Saturday morning in Sonoma County. It's Garden Talk.
Golden State Warriors basketball on KSRO 1350 and FM 103.5 is brought to you by Hansel BMW.
Hi, I'm Robert Haley, superintendent of Cotati-Roner Park Unified School District. We're proud to be a district creating innovative programs, opening schools, attracting students, and preparing them for college and careers. Our vision is clear. All students are entitled to a successful education. Our focus is learning, and we are a team. We have many exciting programs and opportunities at all of our schools designed to provide an enriched education and meet the needs of all of our students. We are thankful for the tremendous community support we receive, which helps make our schools special places for children to learn. We have strong academic and enrichment programs, magnet programs, and distinguished schools from transitional kindergarten through high school. So we encourage you to visit one or more of them as open enrollment begins this month. Come see what we have to offer. For more information, check out crpusd.org. Happy New Year, Sonoma County. Let's have a great 2017. Cotati-Roner Park Unified School District. Learning for a lifetime. Committed to the future.
This is Lawrence Amaturo, owner of News Talk KSRO, with good news from our community. From the upside, here's Steve Jackson.
Congratulations to David Cotting and Melissa Williams on another great summer of free live concerts at Montgomery Village. Tribute bands representing the Beatles, the Stones, Elton John, Jimmy Buffett, and even Frank Sinatra. Plus, dozens more provided free live music every weekend and many Thursdays. But the big winners were local nonprofits who received almost $100,000 in donations. Thanks to Montgomery Village and their concert sponsors, Rodney Strong, Corbell, and Eagle Distributing. An eight-year total of nearly $500,000 has been raised for local nonprofits. Thanks to Montgomery Village.
Why not share your good news with me? My email is lawrence@mysonomamedia.com.
That's a great question. I get that all the time. I'm so glad you asked.
Dr. Walter Tom loves questions.
Yes, varicose veins can be painful. I have them and so does my mom, so I get it. The cool thing is that treatments are no longer painful.
In fact, Dr. Tom thinks you should ask as many questions as you like before any procedure.
I understand your concerns. That's why I do all my surgeries under local anesthesia. It's the safest way to have a procedure.
Dr. Tom is never in a rush and thinks every question is a good question.
You're really not asleep for the surgery. Local means that I can communicate during the procedure and we can make sure that you get what you really want. You're going to have less pain and a quicker recovery.
Dr. Walter Tom was voted the best cosmetic surgeon in the North Bay. Find out why. Make an appointment today for a free consultation. Call Dr. Walter Tom at 542-8346 or go online to drwaltertom.com. Your questions matter to Dr. Tom.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
We just had a listener jog the cobwebs from Gwen's mind.
Listen, how come we don't get their names so we can credit them?
Oh.
So, yes.
Well, because Pine Bark was too busy to get their name, because calls were coming in fast and furious. It's Scarlett O'Hara. No, no, it's Christian Day, or no. It's something called Helmut Schmidt.
Well, Helmut Schmidt is the beautiful. That's a great suggestion. Thank you, listener, for a yellow cut rose. I had that one, but like I said, there were so many roses that I needed to get rid of to make room for fruit trees. So, Marola, remember Helmut Schmidt as a yellow one? That's beautiful. And it just
pretty
might
disease
be,
proof.
Yeah. You know, full sun, good draining soil.
Okay.
And then for the red rose, I think it could be Ingrid Bergman. But next week, I will let you know, Marola, if it is that one, because we'll see if I still have the tag on my plant.
Okay.
So that's a red one, beautiful cut one, but definitely get First Kiss.
Okay, and Helmut Schmidt.
And Helmut Schmidt.
For Yellow Rose.
Yes.
Those two, absolutely. Nita from Santa Rosa, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO with Gwen and Steve. Good morning.
Greetings, Rick. Good day to you both.
Hi.
I'm celebrating the frost. You know, we've had like several days, and I have lettuces, tender leaf herbs, you know, parsley, kale, and everybody made it through the frost. Nobody melted, thanks to the nursery dudes at in Sebastopol. They got me set up, and it was not expensive either, with not frost cloth.
The UV greenhouse?
Shade cloth? Shade cloth, 75%. So I got it because it was, you know, I had a bunch of heat and I had these little babies, you know, in the ground. And so I went in and they helped me cut the PVC for me and got me the little clips and the 75% shade cloth. And so I put that up there and everybody made it through the heat. I didn't do anything out there. I thought, well, it's going to, whatever, I'll check it in the spring. I went out there, and everybody is thriving under that shade cloth, under the shade cloth, 75%.
It's black shade cloth?
It is black,
okay.
Yes.
Wow, so that shade cloth is still providing enough sunlight to have those plants grow?
Yes.
That is pretty cool.
It has enough cover, I believe, to keep the hard, you know, the hard frost off of them.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled, and I'm so grateful for those guys in Sebastopol. They're great.
Wow. Is this at Harmony Farm, then, that you're talking about? Okay, Harmony Farm set this up. Wow. Well, there's some information for Scott, then. If he doesn't want to deal with the greenhouse plastic that I was suggesting, put those stakes in his wine barrels and put the shade cloth over it. Do you have the shade cloth going all the way to the ground? Or is it just like
I have
tent?
It on, they helped me cut the, or they cut the PVC tubing. And so it just goes into the ground. And then it's not like in the ground, you know, the shade cloth isn't into the ground. It's just, I don't know.
Hanging like, on I top like a canopy kind of thing? Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's a hoop. It's a hoop shape.
Okay.
And then I just, you know, draped the cloth over it and got these little white clips that it held in the wind.
Wow. How big, how long is this?
Let's see. I have sections that are 10 feet long.
Okay.
And I just, you know, and that's how, you know, I just measured my, I mean, that's how I'm planting. It's a system that I can deal with. Each little section is 10 feet long.
And how wide?
Oh, 4, 5.
Okay. So those are good size areas that you're protecting. And so the shade cloth is like, you know, draped over your PVC pipe that's in like, in hoops. So they're anchored in the ground on either side, and then you have them so many feet apart, you drape the shade cloth. So just like you would with the plastic hoop tunnels, that you can call them hoop tunnels, but instead of having the greenhouse plastic, you have the shade cloth. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So and where I have the tender leaf herbs is the raised bed. I did the same thing for them, and everybody's thriving.
Wow. I wouldn't have thought that that shade cloth would provide enough sun. And you keep the this on during the summer because you said these plants,
yes,
they got too hot. Well, the lettuce in the summer depends on the variety and how hot it gets. They're a cool season plant, so yes, I can see how that would work for the lettuce during the summer. But everybody else, well, the kale also is a cool season plant, so they were, that was the shade cloth was able to keep the area cooler during the summer when you had all these plants growing through the summer, the entire summer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is pretty cool.
All through the whole growing season, from the time I put them out as babies.
Go ahead, until?
Until now, until the, you know, the hard winter.
Where are you located?
Santa Rosa, near Fulton.
Okay, so kind of near me, too.
Yeah.
Wow, this is great. Wow, thank you so much for this information.
Yeah, I feel like it's a miracle. I'm so excited.
This is fantastic. What a success story to start the new year.
I'm excited, too, because I have a whole bunch of shade cloth that I'm thinking, wow, if she can do it, I can
do
it. So
thanks, Nita. You've inspired Gwen.
Yeah, thank you, Nita. And also Scott, too. I mean, maybe he can get some lettuce growing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, wait. So if he was to go out and buy some plants now, I think I would have told him it's
too cold.
It's still too cold. Yeah. So this is something he can do later on, like we said, in March. And, you know, but he wouldn't be putting that frost, this shade cloth down then, because he needs to generate some heat. So that would keep those plants too cool. It would work still for you. But as far as getting a jump start, he needs the heat. So he would need that clear plastic to get, or you don't need anything because the weather's perfect.
Well, Quinn, isn't he going into container? Wasn't he doing something in container?
Yes, but that he needed to get some heat.
Yeah.
He needed to warm it up.
Okay.
That shade cloth would keep it cooler, so that would keep, then he'd have to switch it out in the summertime.
Too much hassle.
No, but he could do that. You know, wait. Well, anyway, he was going to wait until spring when the weather's warmer and he can plant without having to do anything.
You've given us some good alternatives, food for thought. Thank you, Nita.
I love it. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Kathy is back and would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Kathy. Hi.
Hi.
What can we do for you today? Well, it looks like your cell phone has died. I hear nothing. Do you, Gwen?
No. Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Hello?
Are you there?
She'll call back.
Okay, Kathy.
I'm sorry. Here I am, Steve. Okay. I put you on hold by accident. Sorry.
Yes. Okay, what can we do for you?
This is Kathy and Ken of Santa Rosa. And in our backyard about 3 years ago, I bought a jasmine tree shrub. And the first year, it produced, you know, white jasmine. I can't tell you what kind because I'm not good on this. But since then, it hasn't produced any flowers, just the green leaves.
Is it that night-blooming jasmine?
Well, it's white, and it has a very nice, fragrant, small white flower with, like, I don't know, maybe four petals, maybe yellow in the middle.
It's a shrub.
I guess you would call it that, or vine. You know, it does the vine thing that wraps around.
Flowering jasmine and vine?
Okay, it is a vine then. You have it growing up on something, and it's just growing?
Yeah.
Okay, so it needs some support, right?
Well, I got string and things like that, lattice for support.
Yes.
Okay. So when was this blooming?
Only when I bought it. That year, and then it hasn't bloomed since then.
So I'm trying to figure out which jasmine it is. What do you know about when it was blooming?
Huh? I'm sorry. What was
like
that?
When was it blooming? In the summertime or late fall or winter?
I think it was the summertime.
Okay. So shiny green leaves.
Yes.
Elliptical shaped, and it has tiny little flowers, like lots of, like maybe there'll be a little cluster of them with three or four or five flowers hanging from one little stem all along the plant. Okay, probably a star jasmine. Does that sound
good? Star jasmine, that rings a bell. Yeah.
Okay, and it stays green all year, even though you haven't had it that long. Okay, so it's in the ground?
No, it's in a giant potted pot.
Okay. Are the leaves still green now?
Oh, yeah.
Everything looks good. Is it getting sunlight anywhere, or is it in...
Yeah, it gets... deep? It gets some sunlight, yes.
So, some sunlight, meaning... So when you have a flowering plant, most of the time they need some sun, at least half a day's worth of sun, to get the plant to produce flowers. If it's in a shady area or in a even a dark, shady area, and it only gets maybe a half an hour's worth of sun during the day, that's not enough for it to kick in the flowers. So, with what you're looking at... Tell me how much sun compared to shade is that plant getting during the growing season? Not now because the sun is at a different angle, but during the growing season, during the summer, what was it doing?
It's probably only getting 3 hours of shade in the morning.
Just 3 hours of shade? That's it?
I mean, I'm sorry, 3 hours of sun.
Okay, sun in the morning. So it could be, it possibly could be that that plant's not getting enough sun. So can you just take the whole thing and move it someplace where it gets filtered sun all day long or more shade? It needs more sun than shade. Okay,
that's the problem then.
Yeah, it's kind of a multi-purpose plant, and it can handle a lot of shade, but then I think your plant has maxed out on the shade there. It's just a little too much. So move it where it'll get more sun, say, until, you know, all day, until, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Shade the rest of the day. That's fine.
Okay, good.
Or even you'd have to watch that late afternoon sun. If it was getting morning shade and then all of a sudden it starts getting sun, and in the hot summer, if you're not watching the watering, it could start to burn on you. Because the star jasmine can take full sun, and it can take half a day's worth of shade. So you're just going to have to play with it a bit and find that perfect spot.
Right, you're right.
But it's nice. It's an evergreen. It's an evergreen vine. It has little white flowers. It's very pretty.
Yeah, so if it's not flowering now for you, the flower production is not kicking in because it's getting too much shade. And also watch the fertilizer, too. Don't give it something with high nitrogen fertilizer in there, because it'll create a lot of greenery and then it'll forget to flower. So you watch it. It's growing, it's green, it's healthy, it's fine. It doesn't need any fertilizer. And you could put some compost in the top of the, you know, take out some of the soil a little bit, put it in some fresh soil, add some compost in there, and as that breaks down, that'll help feed the plant. So you watch the watering to make sure that the roots are damp or not soaking wet where it's teetering on root rot. So there's a few things that you have to watch out for, but the main thing I'd start off with, more sun. And move it now, too. This would be a good time of the year to move it.
Okay.
Yes, and it's all sunny today only, so this is a good time to get out and about.
Yes, perfect time to do it, Kathy.
Yeah.
Good talking to you. We have to take a break. We'll come right back. We have Susan, who just sent us an email with a photo, and she has a lime in distress. 11:05, we taste fantastic Polish food from one of the newest restaurants in Sonoma County. Join Chef John Ash on the KSRO Good Food Hour today.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Steve Kerr, and this is the home of Golden State Warriors play-by-play, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Better business through better advertising. An advertising tip for small business owners by international marketing expert Matt Hackett.
When thinking about the content of your ads, it's important to connect with your potential customers. That means knowing more about them so you can create ads that will resonate with them. A simple way to find out what's in the hearts of any group of potential customers is by using a search engine and simply typing in, "What are target customers feeling?" Remember, it's feelings that will establish the emotional connection in any of your commercials. I just searched for, "What are single mums with two kids feeling?" I got hundreds of thousands of results, stories about resources, parenting, finances, dating, all of which would help you speak to the hearts of single mums. Try searching for the car buyers, dieters, cell phone users, or remodelers that you want to attract. Once you know what's true for them, what's real, and what they're feeling, you can create ads for them that are bound to connect.
For more tips, go to ariaconnect.com. That's ariaconnect.com.
Did you know the largest RV dealer in the North Bay is now celebrating 25 years in business, and they're right here in Petaluma? Reed's Trailer Sales on Old Redwood Highway in Petaluma has over 200 travel trailers, fifth wheels, and truck campers. Now is the time to make the best deals of the season, and Reed's will match any show deal on comparable models. Also, Reed's Trailer Sales is looking to consign your late model motorhome, travel trailer, or fifth wheel. Let our experts sell it for you. Reed's will get you top dollar and save you all the time and hassle. Or they can pay you cash on the spot. The largest RV dealer with over 25 years in business is right here in your own backyard. Reed's Trailer Sales in Petaluma. Call 792-9100 or on the web at reedsrv.com. Reed's Trailer Sales, now accepting consignments.
Reed's, you should buy your trailer at Reed's. A fifth-wheel travel trailer or utility. You should buy your trailer at Reed's.
Reed's Trailer Sales.
Does healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to rabbit, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheeses from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable, healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
More political tension ahead of Inauguration Day. ABC's Alex Mallon tells us about the criticism from a veteran lawmaker that's producing so much reaction.
President-elect Donald Trump responded to Georgia Congressman and civil rights icon John Lewis after the lawmaker said he doesn't see Trump as a legitimate president. Trump hit Lewis for, quote, falsely complaining about the election results and called him all talk, no action. Lewis cited Russia's meddling in the election for his comment and said he would not be attending Trump's inauguration. Trump telling his followers Congressman Lewis should spend more time on fixing and helping his district, calling it, quote, crime infested. Alex Mallon, ABC News, the White House.
Private space exploration pioneers celebrating a successful high-stakes rocket launch today at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California.
Four, three, two, one.
SpaceX launching Falcon 9 rocket, its first since a launch pad explosion in September in Florida. This is ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Partly sunny skies today at 56 degrees, 53 on the coast. Cloudy tonight, possible showers, low 40, 47 on the shores. Mostly sunny for Sunday at 59, 55 in Bodega Bay. Monday, a few clouds at 60 degrees, 55 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
We're back after the news break, and dear Steve and Gwen, dear Garden Talk, here is a lime and a bunch of others on a small lime tree, and I have this brownish surface all over the skin. The fruit underneath seems okay. Any clue as to what might be causing this? Thank you, Susan. Boy, I don't know if you've ever seen a lime that's so been meticulously stripped of its skin.
Yeah, when she says this brown surface, that's the lime that is exposed because the skin has been chewed off. And you can see the rough edges around there. It doesn't grow. It's not a disease because that would start like in a circular pattern or it wouldn't have all these raggedy looking distortions on the edges here. So I would guess, unfortunately, I have to say, that could be a small rat that's chewing away the skin, and unlike what it was doing to my mandarin oranges, eating the whole orange because it's so sweet and tasty, these limes, he's probably going, oh, wow, this is getting more sour as I eat it, and it doesn't like it, and so he's going to move on to something else. So it looks like probably not voles, because they stay on the ground and they go underground, but mice and rats will. Rats have been a problem on citrus. They're even chewing the bark on the branches, and they were eating my mandarin oranges.
So should you try to do some trapping, possibly?
Yeah. I would, if you're going to use those big rat traps, watch out for birds, because you'll get a bird stuck in there too.
Possibly.
So, do what you can. Somebody mentioned about the electric rat traps, where nobody will go in there except the rats and the rats.
But they are $45.
Yeah,
but he swore by them.
Yeah, and that will take care of your worry about birds. So there are other bait boxes that you could use, where the rat goes into the box and the bait is like anchored in there, and so they eat the stuff and then they go someplace and die. That's another thing you can do, but then you have to watch out for hawks and owls and whatever, going after that rat.
But you're sure this is, you suspect this is rat and mice damage?
Be snails and slugs, too, that are chewing away. So you could go out at night with a flashlight, 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and look at your fruits and see if you see some snails or slugs also doing this damage.
Okay.
But
you're thinking rats, though.
But I'm also thinking maybe because of the size of the fruit, too. How is that rat, do you think he would, break that thing off? And as he's standing on the branches, but I don't know, they seem to pick out the bait in my rat trap. So I'm thinking they could be delicate enough to eat this and not cause damage where these fruits would be falling on the ground.
Check
for slugs and snails too.
Since we're on the subject, any rat updates from the Kilcher property? I know you've been inundated with rat issues.
I don't want to tell you how many we've trapped and killed so far, you know what happened? I went and took my pickup truck to get the oil changed last week, and the guy comes out. I was only in there for 2 minutes, and then he comes out and he's like, come here, Gwen, can I talk to you? I'm like, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with the whole truck. We're not even going to bother changing the oil because you might as well dump this truck. Something serious happened. He shows me the air filter that's sitting right where it belongs, and I look at it. Half of it is gone. Obviously, it was chewed away by a rat. And then he lifted it up, and here's this pile of shredded filter material.
Oh, no.
And I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I said, is it in there, do you think? And he's like, no, he's not in there, but I just had to show you why we need to replace your air filter and you need to do something about this, because luckily he didn't stuff it all the way into the intake something or other, wherever, where it could have blocked the whole thing and wherever the air flows, however that works. Yeah. So we were fortunate enough to catch it in time, and at least he didn't chew on our hoses and everything else that was in the vehicle.
You'll never hear this information anywhere else except Garden Talk at KSRO on Saturday morning. We'll take a break. We can take more calls right now, 636-1350. A couple other email questions. Someone just emailed us about the rose that you had spoken about, Gwen.
Yes.
They're saying, was that the Olympiad rose, the red rose you just spoke about?
Yes, it is. Beautiful. Cut flower
this
red rose.
This is from Steffi, and she's saying, is this a good time to plant one of those?
Yes, they're available. Bare root season is starting, so check your favorite nursery for that one.
636-1350. You can reach us now at Garden Talk Live at KSRO.
This is the North Bay's home of Oakland Raiders play-by-play. News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
The holidays are over, and with the new year, the possibilities are endless. You may be thinking about finding your next career, the job of your dreams, or extra income. Well, mark January 18th from 3 to 6 on your calendar for the Sonoma County Employment Expo. Join over 40 employers looking for you. You'll get to meet potential employers in person and could get hired on the spot. With unemployment in Sonoma County hovering around 4%, it's a job seeker's market. You'll meet employers offering a variety of positions like senior management, entry level, retail, leasing consultants and maintenance techs, manufacturing, engineering, security guards, construction, hospitality, and staffing agencies that have even more opportunities. There'll also be over 20 organizations offering special resources and services for military veterans. The Sonoma County Employment Expo, Wednesday, January 18th from 3 to 6 at the Grayton Resort and Casino Ballroom. Go to this station's website and click on the Sonoma County Employment Expo link for more info.
If you're struggling with weight and frustrated with dieting each and every year, Mark Patrick Hypnosis can help. Join the over 500,000 people who have attended the Mark Patrick Hypnosis weight loss programs with results. Mark Patrick Hypnosis will be in Santa Rosa on January 24th, so make that New Year's resolution a reality.
You know, my goal is to lose 30, so I lost, you know, actually more than I ever thought I would.
I can exercise. I am happy with myself. I'm happy with others. But it just changed my life totally around. It was just my last ray of hope.
As of today, have already lost 48 pounds.
I've lost about 32 pounds.
For only $49.99, lose all the weight you want, 100% guaranteed. Tuesday, January 24th at the Hyatt Vineyard Creek Hotel in Santa Rosa at 2 p.m. and at 6:30 p.m. Registration begins a half hour before. Attend this program and find out how the power of hypnosis can help you achieve your weight loss goals. There's limited seating, so get there early. Learn more and pre-register at markpatrickseminars.com.
The Home Depot is pouring more into paint. More washability, scrubability, and affordability. Introducing Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer, starting at just $23.98 a gallon. That's up to $40 less than other paints, claiming to do the same things. And it stands up to anything you throw at it, staying beautiful for up to 2,500 scrubs. We count it. Introducing Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer, starting at just $23.98 a gallon. Exclusively at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only.
He's helped businesses on five continents succeed, expand, and profit. He's shared the secrets of successful advertising with over 40,000 business owners, and now he wants to share them with you. And he's coming to Sonoma County to speak the week of January 30th.
This is Matt Hackett. If you want your business to do better than ever in 2017, then go to this station's website and book your seat at one of my Better Business Initiative workshops. They're entertaining, free, and packed with great information you can put to work straight away.
Welcome back. It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. In just a few minutes, we move from the greenhouse over to the kitchen with Chef John Ash on the KSRO Good Food Hour, one of the principal owners from Zoja Restaurant, a new Polish restaurant in Sonoma County. Just opened up about a month and a half ago or so. Great food. They'll be bringing in some lunch and talking about Eastern European cooking. And certainly should put that on your destination for cold weather dining. Well, not only just cold weather dining, but Eastern European heartier type food comes to mind during these chilly winter days here in Sonoma County. 636-1350. If you'd like a word with Gwen, we have plenty of room. No one on hold at this moment, so you can get right in with a gardening question or comment, or steve@ksro.com. So did you finally get your cucumber seeds, Gwen? You had ordered those, I think, a while back?
My Richmond Green Apple?
Yes.
Yes, because my favorite seed company, Fedco, sold out before I could get to it.
Because you've been talking about them for the past year.
Yeah, so the I know Baker Creek Seeds has them, but they're like 15 seeds for like $3 or something. And like I said, that's not going to get very far with me.
No.
So there's another company called SOW, So True Seeds. And I think they're in Maine. I can't remember. Somewhere out there. But I found them there, like, I don't know, 40, 45 seeds for like $3 maybe. No. So I got three packets just to be on the safe side, just in case. But if you can't find that one, another one that I grew last year that I didn't mention because I wanted to get more information on it and really know, I'm going to grow this other variety also called Crystal Apple.
I've never mentioned that one. Crystal Apple.
Crystal
cucumbers.
Apple, oh. Which looks similar to the Richmond Green Apple, mm-hmm. but it's a little bit lighter green in color. And that one is just as good and just as delicious as Richmond Green Apple. Not as prolific And if you wait a little too long, then they start to get the thicker, that harder skin and the seeds in there and this and that, where Richmond green apple doesn't really do that. Forget growing lemon cucumbers. I tell you, those things, if you're not out there at 2 o'clock on that day and to pick that, then at 3 o'clock, that lemon cucumber is past its prime.
Not edible.
This one's great.
Okay.
And so, also, can I tell everybody a pepper that they have to grow also?
Yes.
It's called Tequila Sunrise.
I've never heard you speak of that one.
No, because I have all these secrets here. But
Tequila Sunrise peppers.
It's a long, thin, maybe it's like an inch wide or so and 3 or 4 inches long, long triangular looking peppers that start off green, and there's tons of them on one plant, and then they slowly start to turn like a greenish orangey color, and then an orangey, and then yellow, and then if you leave it on too long, they have a little hint of red. Mm. I can't remember if it's a sweet pepper, but I think they have it listed in the hot pepper section because, why can't I remember that? But it's a sweet pepper. You just pull them off
the plant. You can just eat it right off the plant.
And eat them, and you can eat them, and they are sweet and delicious, and that's a variety of a pepper that everybody has to grow.
Okay, Tequila Sunrise peppers, and also either the Richmond green apple cucumber or the crystal apple cucumber, either one of those.
And don't forget those snow white cherry tomatoes.
Which no one could get last year because you talked about them, and then Renee sold all the ones she had, right?
Oh, yeah, my friend Renee, who sells her plants.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll have them for sale again this year because I gave her a bunch of seeds. And I said, if you grow my seeds for me, I'll give you all of these seeds.
So the name of the tomato again is?
Snow White.
Okay.
It's a cherry tomato.
Yeah, you said
sweet.
It was the best cherry tomato.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
You brought it in last year, and I have to say, I love my sweet 100s. And
The Sun Golds.
I love my Sun Golds too. But this, I'd have to say, this was probably at the top of the list.
Yeah, so there you go. And, you know, if you're thinking of sowing seeds, your vegetable seeds, your peppers and eggplants, you could start thinking about starting them in February.
Oh.
They take about 8 weeks, if not a little bit longer, to get to be of any size that you could transplant into a larger pot. Say you start off with a 6-pack and you put a few seeds in each one. Well, 8 weeks later, okay, you can take those plants and you can pull them apart and transplant them into like a little 3-inch pot. And then like by that time, you know, 12 weeks has passed, and then the weather will be warm enough for you to plant those plants, and they'll be nice-sized plants. And if you wait too long, like March or something, to start them, then, you know, it's already May, and they're still not big enough to put out in the garden. Or if you do, you have to be really careful because they're small and tender and delicate. So eggplants and peppers, you really need to start a lot earlier than all your other seeds that you want to start indoors.
Dear Gwen from Helen up in Windsor, explain what is the difference between mulch and compost. And it seems like compost, when I've tried to do it, always smells.
Well, I wonder if she's making her own compost and it could smell because it's not getting enough air and it's getting too much water. There's not enough, brown, dry material mixed in with green, wet material. So there's got to be a balance in there in order for it really not to smell.
Because a compost pile that's properly balanced doesn't smell.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you stick your nose in it, you can probably smell something, but you're not going to walk by and it's not going to smell like rotting whatever. So compost is anything that's, you know, organic material that has broken down, and you have something that looks almost like a big bag of potting soil. Okay, so you've got that look to it. And you use that to incorporate into the soil to help add organic matter, to improve drainage, add nutrients and goodies. And it just helps provide that extra organic matter that a clay kind of soil is lacking, or even a sandy soil is lacking. Mm. So it'll either help improve drainage in a clay soil or help hold moisture in a sandy soil.
Okay.
So, and it has 101 benefits that I won't go and get into. So you could take that compost material also and put it on top of the ground, spread it out, you know, and you can go from a 1/2 inch to what I would do sometimes, 12 inches, 6 inches, and put it on top of the soil. That then we call mulch because it makes a protective layer on top of your soil. It prevents the rain from pounding your soil and turning it into concrete. It prevents a lot of weeds from coming up. It keeps moisture in the soil for a long time. So when the sun comes, it doesn't bake your soil and turn it into concrete. So it acts as a buffer in those ways. And also the best part is when it starts to break down, it slowly starts to add nutrients and goodies to the soil. It gets all those microorganisms going, and it helps feed your soil and improve your soil. So therefore, you don't have to add fertilizers. And it helps improve the soil.
A perfect explanation. Thank you. We'll be right back.